Well, guys, way back when, I opened a new mini-series entitled Binding and Loosing. This will be part two today. Binding and Loosing. We're going to reread our foundational scripture together, which is Matthew 12, verses 25 through 29. If you have access to a Bible on your electronic device or a physical Bible. Matthew 12, 25 through 29. Beginning to read. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? And if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your people drive them out? So then they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or again, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? Then he can rob his house." Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. Let's pray, Lord, that you will direct, as you have been this service, Lord, that you will direct my thoughts and my speech, that, Lord, it will line up with your will and what you want said to this body of believers today, that I'll speak your words only, not a word more or a word less. And all for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. So in the opening message, we talked about binding and loosing and what it is, and we talked about definitions, and we left off talking about you have more power than you will ever need. Guys, we need to remember this. We have within us, because of the indwelling Holy Spirit, we have access to more power than we will ever need. So don't let the devil make you feel weak. Now, this is pretty close to my heart because I've been battling with this. I've been wrestling with this because of my physical body. My physical body. I've been going through some stuff. Okay? But I'm fine spiritually. All right? We have that power. And the first sub-point we looked at under that heading is Jesus gave the believer absolute power over Satan. Never, ever forget that. We as believers filled with the Holy Spirit have all power over Satan and all of his dominions. Now the next sub-point is entitled Doing Battle in the Unseen Realm. Doing Battle in the Unseen Realm. You see, our enemy is not what you can see, hear, feel, or touch. Spiritual forces that oppose the gospel operate in the spiritual realm. When a person is bound by spirits, they are unable to think properly. Confusion never, ever comes from God. Our God is not a God of confusion. And the battleground is in our minds. Okay? The battleground is in our minds. We have got to learn to take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. In other words, to make it line up with the Word. Jesus is the living Word. Right?
Right.
All right. Ephesians 6, 10 through 12 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. See, there it is. Not against what we see, feel, hear, right? But against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now let me explain again. When this is, don't let this confuse you when it says heaven. There is no evil in heaven. Satan and a third of the angels that rose up against God Almighty were cast out of heaven. And Jesus said, I saw them fall like lightning to the earth. Okay? So, the heavenly realms is not talking about heaven in that respect. It's talking about the arid places. All of the arid places around us. Here, all around, behind me. That's why we need the armor of God and His glory. His glory, the Word of God tells us, is our rear guard. The armor protects us from the front. Okay? So, even if we do get weak and turn tail and run, we've got God's glory as our rear guard then. But a warrior don't turn and run. All right? A warrior stand and fight. Okay, so remember who our war is with. This is so very, very important. The enemy, for years and years, has been able to destroy relationships between people. It destroys families. It destroys relationships in the workplaces. It destroys relationships in the church. It destroys relationships everywhere when we start thinking our fight is with a person, and it's not. Our fight is with what is in that person that rises up against us as believers. All right? We got to keep that straight, guys, or we end up with trash relationships. We need to realize to pray for a person that is a thorn in our flesh. Right? Pray for them. Pray that what is in them will be cast out in the mighty name of Jesus. And that they be filled with the Holy Ghost. And you get two people that are truly full of the Holy Ghost, and there will be no animosity between them. Well, I've got people that are my favorites and people that are my less favorites. But why? Well, mainly, I gravitate to people that have the same kind of interests I do. We all do, don't we? Those are the people that we are drawn to as people with the same interests. Well, when you got two people that are sold out to Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and living every day to the fullest in Christ, we gravitate to each other. That's the glue that holds a church together, a healthy church. What divides churches is... Did you see that verse she had with that outfit today? Or guys... That guy thinks he can really play golf. Did you see what he's playing with? That's got to be a 30-year-old driver. Those are the kind of things that divide people. People that, you know, things that are really not important. Remember, our fight is against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, in the arid places all around us. Second Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. Beginning to read in verse 3. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought, there it is, battlegrounds of the mind, to make it obedient to Christ. Okay? There it is. You know, wage war as the world does. In the world, guys, if you got a problem with somebody, and it continues to be a problem, most likely among men, somebody's going to get their eyes dotted. Somebody's going to roll up their sleeves and take a few pokes at them. Waging war as the world does. Okay? But that's not the way we're supposed to wage war. Okay? We wage war by demolishing strongholds and demolishing arguments and everything that sets itself against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought. When those thoughts to come in that oppose what God requires of us in His Word, when those thoughts come in, we've got to learn to cast them down and cast them out. Because this is where the battleground's at. Listen, you know, you're going to know this is true when I make this statement. If you think about something long enough, you're going to do it. Whatever it is. If you ponder it long enough, if you stay on that stream of thinking, it's how people end up committing premeditated adultery. David was guilty with Bathsheba. I'm telling you right now, that was premeditated. That man had seen her on that roof before. He knew what time to go up there. When that all happened, he was supposed to be out of war. He stayed home to go up on the roof. Yeah. Nobody will ever make me believe different. It was premeditated. Old Jonathan, he put it between his eyes. You let him know. You are that person. So, taking every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. That means we, when we're having a dispute with somebody, we don't lay on our pillow at night and ponder how we're going to tear them up if they do this thing next time. And does somebody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Yet, come on, don't look pious to me. I've done it countless times. I especially did it before I was born again believer. Listen, I've shared this before. I had a hate list before I was a believer. And if anybody would have been on that list would have been crazy enough to go hunting with me, there's going to be a hunting accident. Not proud of that. That's where I was at that point, because I didn't know anything about these things. All I knew was get even or maybe a little ahead. So, I get this, guys, because this is really important stuff. Yes. If we're going to live successfully in this life that God has given us, we have got to be able to apply these principles. It's the only way to true happiness as well. To true joy, I should say. God never promised us happiness. He promised us joy. And joy is found in Him and in His principles. Next, we are to lose. We're supposed to loose the minds that are blind. Loose the minds that are blind. Satan loves to blind people. As I said, confusion never comes from God. Confusion always comes from Satan. And he uses it and uses it and uses it. Why does he use that so much? Because it works. Satanic forces have the ability to blind the minds of people. When directed by the Holy Spirit, we should begin to minister to these people by speaking the promises of the gospel to penetrate their mind. Jesus instructs us to attack and overpower the strong man that has blinded a person's mind. We do that by speaking words of authority in the name of Jesus that penetrate their mind and will loose people through the truth. Then the truth sets them free. When we speak truth, God's truth is God's word. And he watches over his word to perform it. That's what it tells us in the scripture. Amen? All right. So if he's watching over his word to perform it, and we're obedient to speak his word in season and out of season, then God will do miraculous things, including deliverance and healing of people in our circles of influence. There was a phrase years ago, back in the early to mid-90s, when it was popular, there were lighthouse groups. It swept this nation and a few other nations. It was called the Lighthouse Movement. How many of you remember that? About three people. All right, I better explain. I'm going here. The Lighthouse Movement had, what they did was they prayed in homes. And they had a sticker they put in their front window and or on their door or whatever, if there was a window in their door, and that was a symbol of a lighthouse and let you know that that was a lighthouse home. Okay? But I told you all that to tell you this. That movement coined a phrase that said this: talk to God about the people before you talk to the people about God. Talk to God about the people before you talk to the people about God. Why? Because the prayers that you offer for the people will break down the strongholds, which are what? The strongholds that are blinding the minds of the unbeliever. You pray those down and bind that, and then you talk to the person and bring the gospel to them. And the blinders are down, and then they can receive the gospel. That movement, for the season that was popular, everything seems to come in seasons, saw millions of people come to Christ through that movement. Because people were praying for the people, talking to God about the people, before they talked to the people about God. How about it? Is that good stuff? 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4 says, "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing." Who's that? Unbelievers. "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers." See, right here it is from the Word, but I'm just explaining it to you. Right here. That about what I say. Only when I'm speaking God's Word is it powerful. Otherwise, it don't matter what I say. But there it is. "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." So there it is. Right from Scripture, what I've been explaining to you this morning. The battleground is in the mind. And until we understand that, we will not have success in personal evangelism. Until we understand these things, we won't have success in many areas, including personal evangelism. You know what's sad? I can't remember what the percentage was, so I'm not even going to try to quote it. But it's an astronomical percentage of believers that go through their whole life and never, ever lead anyone else to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Never, ever, never, ever reproduce. See, healthy sheep reproduce. Supposed to reproduce. And we're supposed to be witnesses to other people. Somebody getting this? I'm probably jumping on some toes right now, but hey, wake up! I'm back! Arnold Schwarzenegger's not the only one that's back! Luke 11, 21 and 22. It says, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up the spoils. Very interesting, isn't it? Very valuable as we look at this statement from the Word of God that we continually remember the power that we have. Not to take pride in it, but to have the power to wield when we have to. When the enemy rears his ugly head. Listen, I've seen people get out of balance. My gosh, I remember years ago there was a group of women, just happened to be women this time. It could have been men, but it was a group of women this time. And they were going to people's houses and looking for devils behind their picture frames and just freaking people out. Just absolutely freaking people out. They were so out of balance. And I remember this well. I'd only been a believer for a little while, but it didn't take long looking at that to know that wasn't right. they'd go to people's houses. They hadn't even talked to the people about the Lord yet, but they would believe in their heart that God pointed that house up out to them, and there was demons running in that house, and we better just knock on that door and get ourselves in there so we can cast the demons out of that house. And I'm just telling you, that's nuts. Should not happen. How easily people can get on a power trip. See, I suppose probably this group originally, to start with, had some success praying for a couple of people or something that were demon-possessed. And that's great. But then, that power. You know, you remember when Jesus sent out the 72 and they came back and said, wow, man, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Remember? I mean, you remember. What did he say to them? He said, I rejoice with you in that, but don't rejoice in that. Rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In other words, don't take pride in that. Take pride in the fact that you're in me. So in other words, do what you got to do when the devil rears his ugly head. Chop it off. Okay? But don't get prideful. Don't get out of balance. Don't start looking for demons but around every corner and behind every picture frame. Don't do that. Because the devil will keep you busy running demons, chasing demons for the rest of your life, and you'll never be fruitful in God's kingdom anymore. I've seen it. I hope you guys are learning something today. I'm sure enjoying preaching again. John 8, verses 31 and 32. John 8, verses 31 and 32. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." This is good. This is fantastic. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. You know what I've learned in the 40 plus years that I've been walking with Christ? There are a lot of people, because of pride, that abandon the teachings of Christ and start operating in their own strength, and it leads to destruction for them and for anyone that is poisoned by the things that they speak that are not the true gospel. There are many cults over the years that were started by sincere Christians that started out right. But they had no accountability, no one to correct them, and no one that could speak into their life. And what they did was they started going off, and they never corrected. And because there was no one to speak to them about the error in their doctrine, they ended up heads of a cult. And we all know where that leads to. So bear that in mind. We all need to be willing to take correction from people, godly people, okay? We all need to be willing to be subject and take correction, because as we walk through this life, if we don't get corrected, we could be one of those people that ends up either leading a cult or part of one. Next subpoint. Our ministry involves looking into the unseen world. Our ministry involves looking into the unseen world. Let me explain why that's in there. Why that point is in there. Because we, as I said, as we live in this life, there's the arid places. There are different dimensions. There are different dimensions. I'm going to tell you something that I believe. You want to believe it, that's fine. If not, that's fine too. I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe heaven is a different dimension, not a place far away. I believe it's in a different dimension. I have reasons I believe that. Several from the scripture. One of them was when Gehazi, how many of you know that name? Servant to Elijah. Gehazi. They were in a tough spot. They were surrounded by an army with all their horsemen. All around. And Gehazi said to Elijah, "My father, my father. They're all around us, sir." I'm not telling you, this is a Wayne version. It's not word for word from scripture, but this is the gist of what it is. In the Wayne version, then Elijah prayed a simple prayer. "Lord, open his eyes to see." And what happened? His eyes were open. Gehazi's eyes were open to see in another dimension into the spirit realm. And what did he see? He saw the army of the Lord between that other army and them. And it was greater than theirs. And all of a sudden he had peace. Now that's only one of the scriptures. Okay. There are others. And I don't have time to spend covering all of them. Maybe you can do a little research yourself. Maybe you'll find out you believe that heaven is a different dimension as well. I know the spirit realm is, so there's no doubt about that. I've had my eyes open from time to time. It happens rarely, but I have had my eyes open from time to time in my Christian walk, where God has opened my eyes into the spirit realm because I needed to know for the battle that I was in. And that's the truth. It's rare, but it has happened. I anticipate it's going to happen again. We're walking in the last days, and the devil is unleashing every bit of onslaught he possibly can, every bit of deception to draw people away from focusing on the truth. Let me name a couple that have cropped up of late, and I don't mean to make anybody mad, but I might, but I'm going to speak. I don't intend to. I don't want to. But as a pastor of this church, I feel responsible to speak correction when it needs to be done. If you're here today and you have bought into the damnable lie of flat earth, I got some property in Florida that's prime property I'd like to show you. This earth is not flat. Not that that makes any difference to our salvation, but I'm saying this because I've been watching people get caught up in the flat earth, and that becomes their doctrine because they're so adamant that they're right. Okay? And then what happens? Well, there's no sharing the gospel with people. We don't have time for that. We got to get to everybody to believe that the earth's flat. Are you listening to me? Do you know what I'm talking about? Don't waste your time on myths. Well, Pastor Wayne, how do you know for sure the earth's not flat? Well, I've been some places. I've flown at 40,000 feet on a clear day and could see the curve in the earth. How about that? Is that enough for you? Also, if the earth was flat, radio waves that never stop going would go all the way off the end of the earth. And we would not have to talk to people on the other side of the earth. We wouldn't have to triangulate off satellites to do it, to get around the curve. Hello? Am I telling the truth? Because that's how we communicate. How do you know, Pastor? I've been into Africa 4 times. I've been in 7 nations in Africa. Okay? I made a few trips over there. I talked to people over here while I was over there. While I'm over here, I talked to pastors over there. How's that happen? Satellite triangulation. That's how. Because you have to do that to get around the curve. When you're on the other side of the world, you got to triangulate with satellites. If it was all flat, we wouldn't need to do that. You want me to go on? I can drop it now? All right. Next thing that's coming up. Damnable doctrine is being unloosed that the Bible is a lie. That this was all started, and it's a project of aliens. We laugh because it's so ridiculous. But there are pastors and churches that are jumping on the bandwagon. They're abandoning the Bible and buying into this junk. Not this pastor and not this church while I'm still alive. Now you know that. I don't know, I think it might be a little mouthier when I haven't preached in a while.
Yeah.
I can't help it, man. It just feels so good to be doing what God called me to do. Even in the midst of troubling circumstances, our prayers will penetrate the eternal realm of the Spirit and allow us to discern what is important. Did you notice the word realm is in there? Okay, I'll leave that alone. We are able to see into the spirit realm with the gift of discerning of spirits. We'll wrap up with this scripture, 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18. Verses 17 and 18. It says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. What we see in that other dimension when God enables us, we're seeing into eternity. It's eternal. What we see here, right now, it's all temporary. These old bodies that we're in, we're not going to need them someday. We're going to shed them. It'll be okay with me. The older I get, the better that sounds. Are you guys learning something in this series?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Well, you can't. Father, I pray your blessing over your people. Lord, we have heard your word today. And Lord, I pray that we will respond to that. That, Lord, we will ponder your word, meditate on it day and night. And that, Lord God, we will be people that you can use for your glory. As we leave this place, may we never forget we're entering our mission field when we go out these doors. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. We love you.